I just want to highlight, I want to thank everybody. Me and Audra were out last weekend. We were teaching at a friend's church, and I had the opportunity to go up there and teach. And while I was gone, we had a family service here, and I just want to give it up for our kids team. If you would, just join me in celebrating our kids team for VBS. It was 4 days, our very first VBS. We had never done anything like it before, and so we are super excited. I want to share with you a quick win that the kids team passed on to me. I'm not going to say her name, but there was an 8-year-old girl who showed up to VBS. And the first day she was here, she prayed for friends. She didn't have any friends. She prayed for friends, and then she showed up the next couple days and made her friends. And when you think about VBS and you think about creating environments for people to connect to each other and God, that's exactly why we do what we do. And sometimes people ask, well, why should I give to the church or why should I serve the church? Let me tell you, for that 8-year-old little girl, that's why we do what we do. And so I just wanted to share that win with you. Thank you guys for giving. Thank you guys for serving. Thank you guys for just being a part of that VBS. Because as a church plant, as a church that we are wanting to influence this this community, we want to do it in through the lens of families and make sure we're serving every part of the family as we can. And it is so excited. What a God thing for a little 8-year-old to pray for friends, and through a VBS she finds her friends. And so what a great opportunity that was. So thank you guys for that. And again, we are in week 2. We skipped a week because of the family service, but we're in week 2 of this series we've called The Book of Prayers. And before I dive in, I want to pray for us. I want to pray for the Word. I just want to make sure that our hearts are in the right place, our minds are in the right place, so we could receive from God what He has for us. And so let me pray for you, pray for me, and let's dive in. God, we just thank You. Thank You for worship this morning. Thank You for the ability to come in and just slow our week down, slow our life down, and just pause for a moment and just see what You think about us, and see what You think about our lives, and speak into us. I pray, God, that You'd bless my words, God, that they'd be honoring to You, and God, that they would help us just take a step forward in our prayer life, in our communication with You, and God, that it would just bring hope to our lives, that we can actually just take that step forward today. So, Holy Spirit, just speak to us, be with us. We love You. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. All right, so we are this series, The Book of Prayers. This series was brought up for one reason, for us to be able to connect with God better. If there has been one prayer, one discipline in my life since I have started my faith journey, and I'm going to say this because I don't feel like I'm alone in this, if there has been one area of my life that is always under, that's always being challenged, and that is really hard to find the discipline in, is a consistent prayer life with God. And what I mean by that is just making sure that prayer, my communication with God, is a priority. Sometimes that life pulls us in 1,000 different directions, and sometimes we can find ourselves just praying the same thing over and over and over again, or we get stuck kind of in a prayer pattern, and then when things don't really turn out the way that we like or that we want, we kind of start pulling distance between us and God. So we're kind of like, you know, waving at God from a distance, versus Him embracing us. And so this book of prayers is our heart in this series is that you and I would just engage God differently. We would realize that the Bible is full of prayers. And so our springboard scripture comes out of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the local church. He's speaking to a group of people that believe. Okay, and I always have to highlight that because sometimes people think, well, once you believe, everything's fine. Well, it's not true. And actually, things oftentimes can be more difficult. You get attacked differently. There's a lot of different things that happen spiritually. So Paul is speaking to the church, and he says this, pray in the Spirit in every situation. Pray in the Spirit in every situation. So what do you think every situation means? Every situation? That means when you're sitting in traffic and you're getting a little stressed out, you should probably pray. When somebody sends you an email at work that is not a very good email, and you just start typing away just as quick right back, you should probably pause for a minute and pray before you send that email. In the text message world, if you're not in a good mood and somebody sends you a text and you read it through your bad mood, and they actually didn't even mean any harm by it, but you read it through your bad mood, and now all of a sudden you're texting back through your bad mood, and all it was, honey, I'm on my way home. And all of a sudden it's like, what? You know? And so, when Cowboy fans come into church, you just gotta pray. You gotta pray for a minute. And let me highlight that there was a very important game last weekend. And last weekend, and I don't care if you say it's preseason, it's Cowboys versus 49ers. And there is a 49ers, new 49ers fan here. So if you see a Joe Montana jersey or a shirt this morning, this friend of mine has finally come to Jesus, and he's wearing a, he's finally took long enough. But the Niners beat the Cowboys last week. Just so you guys know, I don't know if you guys watch the ESPN or watch the game, but I just want to throw out there, Niners beat the Cowboys last weekend. Even when life is running in the direction that you hope it should be, maybe things are okay for you in this room today. Maybe all your bills are paid, everything's fine, you know, you're getting ready to go on vacation, there's this, there's that. Let me tell you, even in those situations, you should still pray. And so Paul's making it very clear, pray in the Spirit in every situation, and then this is where the book of prayers comes from. Use every kind of prayer and request there is. And the reason that's highlighted is because I think you and I oftentimes think that there is only one prayer in our life. And Paul actually references, actually use every kind of prayer. He references that really key. And what's interesting is that I want this series for you and me to be able to, kind of debunk the myth of prayer, that it's boring and that it's, oh, I just can't do this. And you know what, I can't get up and, you know, properly kneel next to my bed and pray for 30 minutes at a time. And I don't have 2 hours out of the day to lay prostrated before the Lord. And, you know, and all these things that people look at me as a pastor and they're like, oh, you must just, where do you find time? I had one guy literally ask me, do you pray for like 4 hours at a time? I'm like, I don't even talk to my kids, my wife that long. Let's talk to God in a way that I can just block 4 hours of time. But let me tell you something. If I'm praying in every situation and I add it up throughout the day, it's probably 4 hours of time. So for us, it's kind of like we're in this thing of like, okay, maybe your prayer life, and this is only for you to answer, maybe you're disconnected from God right now because you've been saying the same prayer, the same way, the same time, over and over and over and over again. And maybe, just maybe, you need to be in a place that you are looking at a different kind of prayer. Maybe that's all God wants from you today. So last week, we looked at the prayer of Moses. And if you remember, in the Old Testament, God dwelt with the people in the Ark of the Covenant. So he was physically, his presence was physical. And the Bible tells us as they would travel, that there was a cloud by day and a fire by night. So there was a very visible presence of God with these people. And they were building a temple to house God's presence, but along while the temple was being built, they had a thing called a tabernacle. If you remember, the tabernacle was like portable church. That's kind of what we're doing. And what they would do is they would set up this environment, and you had to walk by certain pieces of furniture to get to God. And you had to operate and respond a certain way past each place of furniture before you got to God. And the interesting thing is for us is that you flash all the way forward to the New Testament, we don't need to operate with God that way anymore. And the reason we don't is because Jesus became the gap. He bridged the gap between us and God now. So you and I can freely walk into God's presence and have an encounter with him, okay? But what we talked about in that prayer of Moses is that the principles still apply. The principle still applies about how we should approach God. And so today, I want to talk about a prayer that comes out of the Old Testament again, and it's about this guy named Jabez. And if you've heard of Jabez before, this is a very interesting story. And so we're going to jump into 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And before I do, I just want to highlight, if you're new to faith, don't start your faith journey reading the book of Chronicles. Okay? It is literally a genealogy of people. So it literally starts with Adam, this person begat this person, this person begat this person begat this person begat, then they begat, and then this person begat. It's over and over and over again. And so the first four chapters of 1 Chronicles, you're like, oh, cool, this is fantastic, you know? But then there's a pause, and that's what we're going to talk about today. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, all these begats, but then for some reason, there's a pause. And there's an honorable mention. There's somebody that stands out. All the begats, and somebody stands out. And his name is Jabez. And it says this. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. And I want to pause right here on this portion of scripture for a second, because Jabez comes on the scene, and it's a very interesting thing. And the reason it's interesting is because Jabez's name actually means pain. See, his very own mother says, "I gave birth to him in pain." And when you actually back up in that genealogy in the first in Chronicles, and you back up that genealogy, it doesn't specifically say who Jabez's actual father was or if he was in his life. So the mother, obviously, whether it was physical, emotional, whatever, she gave birth to Jabez and then named him Pain. I mean, one, that's a bummer to be named Pain. Like, "Oh, well, here's my kids. This is Joshua, this is James, this is Kevin." That's pain. You know what I mean? Like, you're already labeled wrong at that point. You're labeled something, right? And that's what's interesting is, "I gave birth to him in pain," but then what's interesting is that, why was his name that? Why was he named that? And we don't know really all the specifics behind it. But really what God had placed on my heart was that he was born into a broken world in a broken way. And oftentimes I think that's how you and I can find ourselves in this world. And what ends up happening is then you and I walk into a church like this and we become labeled. And maybe your label this morning is pain. Maybe your label this morning is depression. Maybe your label this morning is unforgiveness or worry or fear. What is your worry this morning? What is your label that you may have? Is it divorce? What is it? And oftentimes, and this is the reason I highlight this, is because Jabez had this name given to him. It was called pain. And so you would think that when he starts to pray, you would think that he would reference his what? His pain. You would think the very first thing that he's going to want to do is talk about his life and how messed up his life is, or what's happening in his life. Because isn't it true that when we are in our most difficult, painful state, that's what we talk to God about the most? Isn't it true that when we tend to pray, it's a lot of us talking to God about us versus us talking to God about him and what he wants to say to us? And what I love about this is that there's this thing here that happens at the beginning of his prayer, and he says, it says Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. And if you're a man in here, that's a tough first statement. Jabez cried out to God. There's something interesting about this desperate version of Jabez. And I believe that sometimes you can find yourself desperate, and that's an okay place. And I just want to tell you that. If things are hard today, it's okay. And we say this all, it's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. Jabez found himself in a not okay place, that it formed something in his heart that he had to cry out to God. But look what he says. He says, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory." And he says, "Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I may be free from pain." And God granted his request. So this is a great prayer for us, because I want to break it down. And I want to break it down with the first thing that you and I need to pray. It just may be fitting for us today. Is you and I have to find ourselves in a posture with God. If you want a new pattern of prayer, start it with this. Oh Lord, would you bless me? That's number one. Oh Lord, would you bless me? So pray for blessing. But here's what's interesting. As he says, "Oh, that you would bless me." Right? Oh, that you would bless me. And what's interesting about this word bless, or blessing, or bless here in this portion of scripture, is there's a Hebrew word for blessing. And sometimes in life, blessing in association with God means prosperity. And even in our cultural world, I'll say this even just from what we see in Christianity today, the world's view of blessing means prosperity. And honestly, this is the one thing I want you to understand today. When Jabez is praying for blessing, it's not that prosperity. You see, the word for bless me means borak in Hebrew. And you know what that word means? It means that God would stoop down and embrace him. So what he's saying here is, okay, God, I'm crying out to you. Would you stoop down and bless me? And sometimes we think, oh, well, it's just, no, he's praying. He wants like financial, he needs money. No. His prayer was actually God stooping down to embrace him. That's the first thing that you and I have to approach this week with God. God, would you just, is it possible then in the messed up version that I am that I could grab your attention for just a moment that you would stoop down and bless me? What a picture that you and I can have with God. What a thought that we have nothing to prove and that we don't have to be something we're not. We can just cry out to God and say, just, can I just have your attention for a minute? And what a beautiful prayer that I think that is for us. The psalmist even says this in Psalm 18, verse 35. He says, you give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You see, God wants greatness for your life. God wants greatness for you. And what a thought that the broken, messed up version of who I am and how I am, how much I need God to make my life great, because without him, I can't do it. That without him, I can't do it. God, I need your greatness. I need your presence. I need you to stoop down because I can't live this life on my own. I can't do this by myself. God, you know my coworkers? Good gosh, Lord, I can't do this. You know what I mean? You know those, I got to do it again, guys, sorry. You know those Cowboy fans. Like, you know how they are. You know how my family is. You know how life is, God. I need you in my life to be great. And I love what blessing represents is that, God, that you would give me something that you have. Not something I have or that the world can give. The word blessing here was that he would stoop down from heaven and he would give us something. He would give Jabez something that only he could give, like wisdom, like mercy, like grace, like knowledge, different things that only God can give us through the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't give it to him just so he can keep it. And sometimes I think that's why our prayers end abruptly with God, is because we pray for us, not what God wants to do through us. And sometimes we kind of have this approach with God, God bless me, and it stops with me. And honestly, God doesn't want it to stop with you. And if in your heart it's only going to stop with you, you're probably not going to get that blessing from God. And I'm just going to say that as boldly as I can this morning. That sometimes you have to understand that God wants to give you more so you can do more. Not give you more just for you to have more. He wants to give you more so you could do more. And you have to understand, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God makes this very clear. He says, I will bless you. He's talking to the Israelites. He's talking to Moses. He's talking to God's people. And he makes it very clear. I will bless you. And you will be what? A blessing to others. Some of you are upset with God because he's not answering what you need more of. You need to add something to that prayer. God, don't just give me more for me. Give me more for others. God, bless me so I could be a blessing to others. You see, God doesn't want to just give to. He's looking for people to give through. Let me say that one more time. God doesn't want to just give to you. He wants to give through you. And sometimes we get frustrated with God because, God, I really need this. I need you to bless me, God. I really need this and I really need that. If I could just make this much more money, God, if I could just get this, if these people would just do that, and I just slow it down a second. It's okay to have those desires, but don't let it stop with you. Don't let it stop with you. God, give me more so I could be more. And so what does the prayer look like? What does the first part of the prayer look like? This is how I would pray that. Lord, give me more than I need so I can be a blessing to the world around me. Lord, just give me more than I need. Because if you give me more than I need, then I will make sure that the people around me are blessed. And honestly, how many of us, the enemy tricks us and says, it's okay to pray, but how many of us walk into our prayers with the intent to bless others? Most of us walk into prayer wanting to just bless ourselves. Walk into prayer this week, again, just try a different pattern. Walk into your prayer life this week with the intent to bless others and see what God speaks to you. He'll give you more knowledge to help somebody else. He'll give you more finances to help bless somebody else. He will, because that's how God operates. He knows if he can trust us with the more, and it's going to go change lives, he's not afraid to give it. So what happens if God gives you more? What happens? He gives you more? Then what's your next part of your prayer? The next part of your prayer should be just like Jabez, which is pray for influence. Pray for influence. Jabez says, enlarge my territory. Make my reach, make my influence bigger. I pray for more so I could do more, so I could have more influence. Positive influence, right? If I have more, I will do more, because here's the reality is that when you start to get more and you start to have that blessing of God rolling through your life and you really start to see what God wants to do in your life, your territory starts to change. And you start to get stretched, because God will start to push you in a position where you can't hoard the more, because he's going to make your territory bigger so you can go make a bigger difference. Some of you think your life, and this is a season of life I went through. I got to this place with God where I'm like, man, my life isn't all that. I really thought I'd be in a better place. I thought this is how my finances would look. I thought this is how this would look. I thought this is how, you know, things would be, God. And my life just isn't what I thought it was going to be. And God said, yeah, it's because it's all about you. Your life will never be enough if it's only about you. And listen to me when I say this. The happiest people I know don't have less problems. The happiest people I know have a purpose. So they're not rooted in the unwavering of how bills are and things like that. That's fine. They're going to work hard and do what they need to do. That's just how people do things. But the reality is that when you find your purpose moves you into a different focus with God, moves you in a different place with God, and you stop seeing your problems and you start seeing people. When your influence starts to change, you stop seeing your problems and you start seeing people. And too many times the enemy comes and say, hey, why don't you just stare at your problem and your opinion and you're this and why don't you stare at that? Because if the enemy knows he can consume your life and my life with my problems and your problems, and that's the only thing we're staring at, we'll never see the people he's trying to reach. We'll never see the people he's trying to influence. So you and I have to find that purpose in our life. And again, Paul even prays this to the early church. And he says this in Ephesians, same book, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. He says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know, and I love this, the hope to which he has called you. And here I want you to understand something. Hope and purpose and hope and calling are tied together. Some of you guys are hopeless because you're sitting there with, what am I here for? What is my purpose? Find your purpose, you'll find your hope. And it's tied together. You have to understand the enemy's goal is to get us to just be. Life flies by and you don't even know what your purpose is. Understand this morning that Paul even prays this. He prays it. The hope to which he has called you, and I love this, the riches of his glorious inheritance in what? In the saints, in the people. Your inheritance, your blessing, who you are in your purpose is people. People is our influence. People is our inheritance. And I love that God would help us with that. That he would help us understand that our inheritance, our blessing, and the things that we do on this earth, he will bless us. He'll take care of our needs. But he'll often do it so we can help others. Help them right where they're at and what they're doing and what they're going through. So you have to understand, it's not the function. So like there's a group of people that got here this morning at 7 o'clock this morning. This, I don't know if you know, this is elementary school. It's not a church. We turn it into a church. So from every light to speaker to pipe and drape to signs in the parking lot to the kids' rooms right now to the lights that are in the back, the coffee, the donuts, the cups, the connection cards, the chairs, everything you see that allows us to operate as a church, it is not about the function. It is not about the person coming up here to set this up. It's about the people that when we set this up, it will bless. And sometimes we get caught up in the, well, I can't serve because of this. No, you can. You can swing a door open for somebody. It's not about the action of swinging the door open. It's about the person you're going to let in. If you're here this morning at 7 o'clock, that trailer was hot this morning. It is not something you like, oh, I cannot wait to get to that hot trailer in the morning. It's not, trust me, it's not that. But you know what it is? It's all I have to do in my mind is think about you sitting right here, right now. And I'll run right back to that trailer and pull everything out again tomorrow. You see, it's not about the function. When you find your purpose, it's about the people. And too many times we get caught up in the function. I don't know how to do that correctly. I don't know if I can. I feel like I don't know. And no, just do it. And realize that when you do it, people are blessed. And then when people are blessed, you're like, yes, I want to do it again tomorrow. If I could have church here every week, I would have church. I mean, every day, I would have church here every day. But God says, you can do it once a week. Great, that's fine. We'll do it 4 or 5 times a month. That's fantastic. But if we could do it every day, we'll do it every day. You know, the teachers and the staff are coming back to school tomorrow. You want to know why we ask our church to be a generous church? We ask you to give, and we ask you to be good stewards of the finances that God blesses you with. It's because we are stocking the fridge for the teachers and the staff tomorrow with coffee and drinks and water and snacks, and we're putting flowers in the classrooms and in the principal's office, and we're just going to make sure that when they get here tomorrow, we've influenced them. Enlarge my territory, God. Give me the ability to reach somebody I've never reached before. You see, you may sit there and think, well, think about that 8-year-old little girl. You guys had to give to create those environments. And an 8-year-old little girl showed up last week and just prayed for friends. Prayed for friends. Oh my God, just think about that for a second. Talk about God enlarging your territory. If you had to work any day of last week and you were working last week, there was a little girl over here praying at this school for friends, and now she's got friends. All because you decided I'm going to give. All because you said, Lord, I'm going to heed to this and I'm going to do this. People that came to serve, that's just how God works. What a beautiful opportunity that he asks each and every one of us to get involved in. Somehow, some way, says, I will help you reach people you've never thought you would reach before. What a beautiful thing. I love this in Psalm chapter 2, verse 8. It says, ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. The nations. Influence. God, help me to have influence. Did you know you have influence every single day of your life? Whether it's to your spouse, to your kids, to your friends, to your coworkers, to your Facebook followers, to your Insta, your Snap faces, your tweets, all this kind of stuff. Whatever it looks like for you, you have influence. Some people say, well, I don't have any influence. No, you do. Trust me, you are influencing somebody every single day you wake up, no matter what you think. You're influencing the person sitting next to you at the stoplight somehow. You know what I mean? Like there's influence everywhere we go. The question is it the influence that you desire in your heart? Because there's only one person who can help that influence, and that's God. Third thing that I love is that you pray for that moment that God can bless you. You pray that he would give you influence. And then you pray, just like Jabez, you pray for his presence. He says, let your hand be with me. And sometimes I need you to understand this. The hand meant power. It meant intercessor. It meant that Lord, don't let me waver and move without your presence in my life. God, I need your power in my life. Lord, bless me so I could bless others. So as you enlarge my territory, I don't want my territory enlarged unless, what? I have your presence. And what I love about this prayer from Jabez is that it's something that you and I oftentimes have to recalibrate. And what I mean by that is that you and I, at least once or twice a week, have to realize, is God's presence in my life? You have to ask yourself that. Is his presence in my house right now? Is his presence in my workplace? Is his presence in my car, my truck as I'm driving to work? Is his presence in that coffee shop? Where is it? And if it's not there, ask for it and be bold about it. Because here's the reality. You and I cannot move in this life without his presence. If you have a desire in your heart to see something big happen in your life, you have to do it with God's presence in your life. And what's interesting is as a church, something that's coming up in September is we do 21 days of prayer twice a year. And it's coming up September 1st through the 22nd. And we ask everybody in our church and even people that follow us on Facebook and stuff like, join us for 21 days of prayer. And the reason this is important is because we cannot do vintage church without God's presence. There is absolutely no way I could stand here without having God's presence in my life. Because when I examine me, there is no way I can stand here. But when I say, God, bless me, I just need your presence, give me influence, expand my territory? Show me what that looks like. And all of a sudden he says, well, you're going to move from a little town called Bernalillo, New Mexico, little bitty town in between Albuquerque, New Mexico and Santa Fe, and I'm going to send you to Austin, Texas. The only way, I can tell you, my wife will tell you, the only way it was even possible is because there we had God's presence in our life. Because if I were to try to do it on my own, there's no way I would have been able to make this happen. So we start our church, we do it twice a year, in the fall and in the spring, we do 21 days of prayer. And I want to ask you to start praying about it and joining us. Every day there's going to be a different topic about Vintage that we want you to join us in prayer with, because we need God's presence to move forward in this city. And I love in Acts chapter 11, verse 21, it says, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. That's our prayer. God's presence would be in this place, just like that song was saying, and we're going to sing it again. The Lord is in this place, right? Sing that in your home. Sing that in your, wherever you're at. The Lord is in this place, right? Like you find that place. And God, when his presence is in the room, when his presence is in your workplace, and his presence is in your Facebook feed, and his presence is within you, let me tell you, people will turn and wonder, who is this God that you're talking about? What a beautiful opportunity that we have in a broken city like Austin, Texas. As put together this city seems, it's just as broken. And you and I are called to reach and influence this city. And I love Moses' prayer, Exodus chapter 33. He says, then Moses said to him, he's talking to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. He says, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people in the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked. So what does the prayer look like for us? The prayer for us says, Lord, be with me, because what you've called me to is too big for me to do without you. That's the prayer. You want to influence your workplace? Do it with God's presence. You want to influence your home? Do it with God's presence. You want to influence the city? Let's do it with God's presence. Because what he's asking us to do, we cannot do under our own power. And when you get the presence of God in your life and your territory starts to get enlarged and he starts to give you influence, you have to understand is that as your influence gets bigger, the enemy sees a bigger target. So then you find yourself in this place that now you're under attack in a different way. You're under attack in ways that you have never been attacked before. We're always under a spiritual attack. We're always under that place. But the next part of our prayer that Jabez prays for is he prays for protection. He prays for protection. And I love this. He says, and keep me from harm. Keep me from harm. And what does that look like for you and me to pray, Lord, keep me from harm? You see, because here's the reality. We're either bumping heads with the enemy in a fight, or we're walking with him. One of the two. And he knows it. The enemy will not attack you if you are not living a purpose. When you are taking ground with positive influence for the gospel, he will come at you. And Jabez understood this. Lord, if you enlarge my territory, I need you to protect me now. And it's okay to pray that. It's okay to pray, God, protect me. It's okay. Protect me, protect my family, protect my mind, protect my heart, God. Protect my spouse, protect my kids, God. Protect them. And when you're praying that, he will answer. He will do it, because that's God sees us from that perspective. 1 Peter 5:8 says, the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may, what, devour. And I need you to understand that, like, that's the enemy. We say this every week. He's scheming against each and every one of us right now. He's probably not so concerned with your Sunday morning as he is your Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Like right now, he's scheming against your Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Because he's going to say, no, they're good. They're sitting in church. That's fine. But let me test their marriage Wednesday at 2 o'clock. Let me test his loneliness at 10 o'clock at night on Thursday. Let me test her fear and worry and loneliness on Wednesday night at 10 o'clock before she goes to sleep. Let me test his will and determination in terms of, is he pleased and content with what he has? You see what the enemy's trying to do? So we have to pray for that protection. So what does that prayer look like? That part of the prayer says, Lord, strengthen me in and protect me from every attack of the enemy. Every attack of the enemy. You see, we tend to lead our prayer life with us, our past, our pain, and our problems, right? My prayer life, if I were to gauge it, it's my past, my pain, my problems. But what does Jabez do? He starts it with promise, potential, and power. Promise, potential, and power. God, would you just stoop down and let me have your presence? I'm okay right where I'm at, God, today. Right now, I'm okay. I need your presence. I need it in my marriage. I need it in my finances. I just need your presence. God. I can't do this on my own. I've tried. I don't know about you. Have you tried to live your life 100% on your own and make everything happen by yourself? You can make a lot of things happen. It won't mean you're content. It won't mean your heart is where it needs to be. So this morning, what I want us to understand in this prayer with Jabez is mark it down. Mark it down this week and just read that prayer every morning. Oh God, would you bless me? Start there. I just need you. You see, because prayer isn't about God moving towards us all the time. Prayer is about us moving towards God. You see, because God, sometimes that's what he wants to see. Are we willing to move forward? Are we willing to take a step forward? Are we willing to do something we've never done before to reach him in a way that we never have? Some of us are saying the same prayer we said 10 years ago when we started our faith journey. You got to shake that stuff up. You got to start a different process. And if you're in a desperate place, it's okay. It's okay. God loves us right where we are. He even tells us that we are more than conquerors. You see, we're more than that. We can't just defeat it. We're more than that. So I want to encourage you this morning, whatever your prayer life looks like this week, whatever is the highlight of your need, whatever that looks like, Jabez didn't have faith in a prayer. He was faithful in praying, knowing that he was praying to a God that would answer. And I need you to understand this morning. Don't just be faithful to a prayer. Be faithful in prayer that the prayer that you're praying is to a God who answers you. Because he will. When we are faithful, he will answer you and me. So this morning, I want to ask if you would stand with me this morning as we close this morning. As we close this morning, there's many people here in need of a reminder that some of you have come from a place similar to Jabez. You've come from a broken place. You may have even been born into a broken world. You may have that label of pain on your life. Maybe that's all you're used to. You may have that label today of depression or worry or fear. You may have that label of unforgiveness. You may have that label of judgment. You may have that label of anger. And you've lived with that label too long. We serve a God who can answer our prayer in giving him that label. I like to reread where Jabez says, deliver me from the pain. You almost feel like he can say there, deliver me from the label that was given to me. So I want to ask you this morning, what is it? What is in your life? As we sing this last song, as we close out today, we do this every Sunday, it's your time to respond, whatever that looks like for you, whatever it looks like. It doesn't take much for you just to respond to God. And if it starts with, oh God, I just need your presence, pause there. If it's God, I need you to enlarge my territory, then start there, whatever it looks like for you. But I want to remind you today that your birth is not your destiny. This world is not your master. And there's a God in the heavens who is powerful, merciful, and he answers prayer. And he understands pain. He understands pain. We serve a God who understands pain to the point that he sent his only son to die on the cross for you and me. He understands pain. He gets it. That's the God you're talking to. You're not talking to a God who's so far in the distance who doesn't love you. He is willing, if you pray it in these moments, to stoop down and bless you. So I want to pray a blessing over you, and then I want to ask you from my heart to yours, just take the next few moments as we close to embrace this song, embrace this time, and you respond to God. Take that time, whatever that looks like for you. And again, if in that time you say, look, I'm not a man of faith, or I'm not a woman of faith, I don't understand what this is like, use that respond card and fill it out, and we'll walk with you. If there's a specific prayer that you need us to pray for this week, use that respond card and fill it out, and we'll do that. So I'm going to pray for you, and then we'll close with this song. God, I just come before you right now, and I thank you for your word. I thank you for showing us a prayer, a pausing moment like Jabez, where he paused in Scripture. And there was this guy that just was labeled something that none of us would want to be labeled. And he just cries out, oh God, would you bless me? And this visual of you stooping down to just embrace him, that's our prayer this morning. So I pray right now, God, for each person in this room. God, the person dealing with stress at work and fear with their finances and sickness throughout their family and things that are coming up against them. I pray right now, God, for the division that the enemy's trying to bring in marriages, the loneliness he's trying to bring to men, the fear he's bringing to women. I pray right now, God, that these labels we would hand to you, that God, you would do what only you can do in this place this morning. Because God, we cannot move from here unless your presence goes with us. So I pray right now, God, that each and every one of us in our own way would respond to you and hear you embrace us this morning with your love. So we love you, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you guys join me in this last song?